Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Sunday Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 7th of August, 2016. Well, you're very welcome back to the podcast, unless this is your first time listening, in which case, no welcome back needed, baby. You're just welcome. We're very happy to have you here. My name's Father Quigg. This is the Sunday Sermon Podcast. Every week, I get on the mic and spit it, as Eminem would say. And what it is that I spit, it's not homophobic, misogynistic, oh, I bloody hate your mam, she's a wagon, so she is. Actually, I like her again. Actually, no, let's kill her. It's sort of messing Eminem does be spitting on about. No, I spit the truth. And this is 100%. True stuff you're getting here. Every word I'm saying at the moment, there isn't a modicum of dishonesty in it. No, I am a vessel for God. For those of you who don't know who God is, he's the big poobah. He's the main man. Whenever you stop and think for a second, that's God. It's God doing an impression of your thoughts. So if you're in the shop and you think, God, there's a big queue in this little... What if I just walked out right now with my bag with the chocolate croissant and the plain butter croissant? If I just walked out of here, no one would know. No one would have a clue. They're not going to bring detectives in to try and find out who took this. You can do it, but there's a voice in your head saying, don't do that because you might get caught and shamed. And even if you don't, on Earth... you'll get shamed in heaven. That's right. If you've ever shoplifted on Earth, then and you thought you got away with it, and you've lived a good enough life to get you into heaven, you scraped a pass into heaven. Once you get up there, you're going to have to apologise for stealing that whisper, or whatever it was. Back in my day, in order to join a gang, you'd have to go into a shop and maybe distract the shopkeeper and say, oh, could you get me... I need wrapping paper for mother. And while he'd turn around and go up on the big ladder, you'd steal a bullseye or two, the sweets. And you'd also kind of have a good recon for the place. You'd look around, okay, exit there, pardon that. This place is wide open. And then you pass that information. What we used to do as young people was, because you didn't want to get into trouble yourself, as young lads in the seminary back in Maynooth, to try and raise a bit of pocket money for old pinting on the weekend, I would help devise crimes and we would sell them to... We thought it was an amateur dramatic society who were going to do sort of stage robberies. But no, a lot of these people took my schematics for actual crimes written for the purposes to be, you know, a play to be put on. Not a lot of people know this, but like... Eugene O'Neill's last Long Day's Journey into the Night, a very long play about a family with a young lad who's got TB and another young lad who's a drunk and probably has a clap because he's mad for the women. And this was back before they invented the old bin bags for the old human pedal bin, if you get my drift contraception. So that was originally written as a schematic for how to rob a Debbie, and it was turned into a play. The understanding was you sell it to a dramatic society like Eugene O'Neill did, and they turn this hypothetical bank robbery or schematics for a robbery of a crime, they turn it into a piece of theatre. But unfortunately, the people I sold it to were very dishonest. Not only were they not a play, but they were in the IRA, and they robbed a place. And of course, they said Quiggy came up with the plan. And I remember in court, because they just released all the stuff this week, I remember in court, and I do have a right to defend myself, in court I said, these lads are mad, I thought it was for a play, I'm going. And I just left. So that's how... I just wanted to get ahead of that before anybody went complaining. And... you know, there's really just so much stuff going on at the moment. Maynooth especially is in the news because apparently there's some of the men in Maynooth are they like other men. This is mad stuff altogether. This is horrible sort of propaganda saying that not only does homosexuality exist, doesn't, but they're saying is it ground zero for it is in Maynooth. Whereas I think there's a much simpler explanation, which is to say, to all the critics, all the headbangers out there saying it's unnatural to live a life of celibacy, some people are just born pansexual and they don't want any of it, but that's, it's not the norm. To those people, I say, well, you've never read the Bible. And there's anyone who studies anything, you'll find loopholes in it. So, those lads, there is a way you can, to quote Missy Elliott, get your freak on while being in the church, but it's not how you'd imagine it, filthy head with your filthy mind and your dirty, dirty sheets. No, it's where you imagine yourself as being maybe it's virtual reality. That's how it's done nowadays. So I don't think there's any, as far as I'm aware, there's never been any homosexuality or anything like that, or sexuality or heterosexuality going on in any of these places, because we were too busy listening to God all day and trying to get his word out there to spend time on that sort of messing. No, it's headbanger stuff. I know that apparently there aren't as many people going to Mass, but I think it's a calm before the storm, because I really believe once Trumpy gets in over there, over in the States, we're all going to be coming back to Mass, and we're going to be coming back to Mass. And it's not good with a certain thing between our legs. What is that thing? Is it a copy of The Guardian? If Leni Riefenstahl, the Nazi propagandist, was ever to hypothetically edit a newspaper, it'd be that one. Is that between your legs when you come back to church? No, it's your tail. Because for a long time you thought you're the cool dude. You thought, sure, Hawkins is an idiot. And all those other boys, Dawkins, Hawkins, Hitchens, all the inns and awks, they're a bunch of headbangers. And what do they know? Really, the only person who knows all is God, and he doesn't have time to talk to everybody. That's why he's only talking to big eggs like myself. Sorry, not big eggs, big cheeses, good eggs like me. So, we've got a few things to go through this week. I was just back from the Comic-Con with the TUIs. And there's may have been some kids left in a bus for 10 hours. But we all got that sorted out. We had a really nice meal. And I've got a snippet of that to play for you later on. And apart from that, I am just wasting time up the top here, baby. I am spending a lot of time in your doorway holding with a box of chocolates and the roses. It's time for you to invite me in and we can start this date. So please rise for the sermon. Please rise. So the Olympics are starting, and already there's been a doping scandal involving one of the boxers. As you know, the Irish boxing team is that is overseen. The basis of where they are is in my friend Michael Lowry, my best friend Michael Lowry, Mick. He has kind of what you'd call, or what has been called in the US media, as sort of the Irish equivalent of the Foxcatcher Ranch. That is to say, Mick has sort of a paddock for free range boxers, and they're allowed to come down and fight each other, and there's plenty of room in the barn and bunk beds galore. And the only concession you have to make is that if Mick wants to fight you, no matter what time of day or night it is, you're going to get fought, and you might have to take a bit of a beating. But that's not to say you're letting Mick win. No. Mick will kill you if he wants to. But the fact he just lets you off with, just multiple sort of southpaws to the jaw, and maybe a few kicks under the belt. He's allowed to kick. It's his campus. So the fact that Mick was very heavily involved, a lot of people are turning to him and saying, Mick, why is it that one of our Olympic hopefuls is allegedly doped off his brain? That is to say, he's walking along thinking the path in front of him is on fire and everyone driving by him is a dragon. Well, I have this to say. Mick always has a little party to send off the boxes right before they go. And if there's, you know, bits going around, bits of barbiturates going around, Mick didn't bring them, I didn't bring them, but they were there, they're being enjoyed, and if that's happening, it's a free country, baby. You can do what you want. Obviously, Mick for some years has been an advocate of removing all testing of doping from the Olympics and just everyone going for it and doing what they want. We're still a few years away yet, but we're off to Rio later on in the week, myself and Mick, and I've got my hazmat suit and my bandolier full of grenades, just in case any of the locals think about coming up and saying hello or something. And I've got a sort of commoner garden cattle prod electric to keep everybody at bay. And I think we're going to go over there, scope it out. And if it is a situation where we go, we could do better than this, we might be making a bid for kind of a Galway Limerick sort of Olympics in 2020, because Qatar, you can forget about it, Qatar, it's running out of money. I understand it's going from an electric Qatar to an acoustic Qatar, and it's very hard to squint your ears and hear, you know, someone going from electric to acoustic, say if they're not being mic'd up, if you're watching Eddie Van Halen or Joey Santiago or something like that from the Pixies, if you're watching one of them lads and they suddenly put the axe they've been shredding down and they pick up, you know, a ukulele and start playing When I'm Cleaning Windows, if you're doing that in a venue of 50,000 people who are used to the amplification, they're certainly not going to be able to get on board with that. So yes, Qatar very much on the way out. And yeah, much like I don't know, somebody looking at pictures of Christina Hendricks and then seeing a picture of her husband and without considering his personality or anything, just looking at him and saying, well, I'm better looking than that guy. Myself and Mick are doing the same thing, but in Rio. So you never know. 2020, Olympics come to turn us. Of course, I was at the Olympics in 1984 in Los Angeles, and it got me thinking. I'd stayed with my friend Hugo Menendez, who was the head of the record company that the Pope was releasing songs through at the time. This was Pope John Paul II. He went through a period of really enjoying Bananarama and Wham, and he was trying to get that sort of funk, but with a message. Message music is what he called it. And I was dealing with Mr. Menendez. But wouldn't you know it, I rang him up. I said, I haven't seen him now in almost 31 years. I must give him a bell and see how he is, or look him up on LinkedIn. I couldn't find him, but his son Eric is on LinkedIn. And Eric's in jail, but he's still on LinkedIn. And that got me thinking, what did Eric do to get into jail? Was it something to do with being too good at LinkedIn? Maybe. I did see on his LinkedIn he said he was the boss at everything. That's a lie. You can't reasonably make that claim to the government when it comes time to, you know, do your taxes and things like that. You can't just say, well, I'm the boss at everything. That's untrue. I looked up, I remember Eric, he was a nice kid. Lyle, his older brother, two really nice kids. I always thought of myself as an excellent judge of character. Those are two of the nicest guys I've ever met. And just the Olympics is wonderful for reminding and uniting us all that, you know, it's like, oh, I remember where I was when that 100 metre thing was on. I was in, you know, Robert Kardashian's man cave, although he didn't call it a man cave. He called it a fortress, a solid dude, way ahead of his time, that lad. And the Olympics and things like this, all these sports things and all these big events, they help remind you of where you were and at another time and who you're with. And good old Menendez, thinking of him now, it sort of dropped into my head. I must give him a bell. You look up his son, you see his son's in jail, you go, oh, I don't really want to talk to him about that. That'll come up, I'm sure. Having spoken to people who are, have kids in prison, that seems like that's all they want to talk about. Well, pass me my sleeping cap, and don't mind if my eyes are closed and I'm snoring my head off, because I couldn't care less.
Hello, this is the Sunday Sermon Podcast coming to you from, what's the name of this restaurant, did we go to, Barry?
Cinnamon,
yeah. So, Barry, this is your first time in a nice restaurant, you were saying?
No, embarrassing.
No?
No, I've been...
It's the fanciest restaurant. So, for anyone watching this home, I'm here with Barry and Wendy. They're two of the TYs, and it's in a scene sort of reminiscent of, you've seen Dangerous Minds, of course. Have you seen it?
No.
You've seen it, haven't you?
No.
Well, it's exactly like that. Look, if you haven't seen it, stop, pause this and go and have a look at that. Because there's a scene in it where Michelle Pfeiffer, who I guess is kind of me in this scenario, she brings three students out for a meal because they've done very well in a test or something. So, and one of them says, like, they don't know how to dine, because it's a fancy pants place, so a bit tough.
That's not why you brought us out there.
Well, no, it's not why I brought you here, but yeah, no, we don't have to get into that.
Well, I think that maybe, yeah, like...
What are you saying, Barry?
I think that you're kind of doing this to shut us up, like...
We're not shushing up anyone. Look, there might be a story getting around that a certain old priest left Barry and Wendy here in the car park of the Dublin Comic-Con for hours. That's a lie. If that were true, why are we all having this nice lunch?
My mom is still really annoyed about what happened. She's talking to the principal, and she told me to tell you that even if you take us out for lunch, it doesn't change anything.
That's ridiculous. Well, here we have the principal with us now, actually. Hello, principal. Hello, Previja.
Hello. Hi.
Yeah, good, good. So, I'm just trying to explain to the people listening at home that this is not, as Barry here is suggesting, or Wendy, this is not a way for me to sort of clean under the carpet, me allegedly leaving these kids in a car park for 10 hours in Dublin City Centre.
You didn't even leave the window open.
What?
You didn't even leave a window open.
What do you need a window for? It's lovely.
You didn't have food.
So what?
You said one pack of chipsticks between the two of us.
And you're alive now.
You said there's a bottle of water underneath in the glove box.
Yeah?
It was empty.
Well, you're looking. I was thinking of the wrong one.
It's awful.
It's not my job to remember where all water is at all times.
And you left the engine running, the heating was on, and everything.
That was just so that we wouldn't have to pay for parking. Look, kids, you've got a lot to learn about the real world. Anyway, we're here with the principal of the school, Mrs. Holian. So, Miss Holian, do you think the transition year project this year has been a success, really? That's what we're here to discuss. It's been a big success.
Oh, it's been wonderful. A wonderful, wonderful experience.
And the podcast has gone from strength to strength. You must be very proud of them and me.
I'm very proud of you, Father. So proud.
Yeah.
The children are delighted.
Yes.
I've never seen little faces so happy in the morning.
They're delighted. The delights are there. And, you know, we're thinking maybe because the podcast went so well last year, we might have the same team, the same TYs, repeat the year.
No, do we have to?
Yes.
I don't want to.
Well, it's too late because we're going for season two. And I need the same group around me.
You can't force us to do that.
Well, we can. They have to do it, don't they?
Well, I think that it could be included in fourth year, Father, or fifth year, as part of the project as well. Of course, whatever you say, Father.
Yeah, but look, let's keep our eye on the prize here. Let's keep the team as it is. I mean, nobody's going to try and make a sequel to Batman Begins and say, right, get rid of Christian Bale, get rid of Christopher Nolan, get rid of all of them. We need a new team. No one's saying that at all. They need the old blood, Walter. Wendy, I notice you're crying. What's your problem?
I just hate the way you compare everything to Batman.
Shut up. You, Barry, anything to say?
They did change the team that did Batman.
What do you mean?
Like, there's a new Batman now.
Maggie Gyllenhaal was in the second one, not the first one. So what? Yeah,
Ben Affleck's Batman now.
What?
Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck's Batman?
Yeah.
When did this happen?
Just like a month ago.
See, this is why I need like the TYs here. This is why I need them. They keep me informed.
No, that's not what you're saying at all. You're completely going back on what you're saying.
We're keeping the same team here. Principal, will you tell them to shut up?
I think children, if you're a little bit more respectful towards father,
exactly,
you might get on a bit faster.
Yeah. What do you think of that, Wendy?
I don't think it's very fair. I don't think we're being, you know, you could be nicer to us. That's all I'm saying.
Are we not at a lovely restaurant?
I'm talking to my mum.
Oh, right, okay. Well, you talk to your mum, I talk to God. Who do you think is better as a person? God or your mum? Who's better?
God.
Yes, God is better than your mum. Ergo, who talks to God the most? Me. Does your mum talk to God?
I don't think so.
No, she does not. I do. God would tell me if your mum was talking to her also. It's the one big party line and Quigg's the operator.
She says I don't have to go to mass anymore.
Oh, God, she's a great sense of humour. Barry, would you ever think of becoming a priest?
No, absolutely not.
Why do you say it with such a snideness? I mean, the principle here, if you were born a man, would you have been a priest?
I don't know if I can really comment on that, Father, but I do know that Wendy should be very careful in saying that she won't go to mass, because this is a Catholic school, and you do know that it's in our charter that you absolutely have to attend mass every single Sunday.
Yeah, there. What do you think of that, Wendy, a smarty pants?
I don't have to go to mass if I don't want to. You can't make me go. My mum says it's okay.
Yeah, but the only thing you have to do is die, Wendy, so let's get that sorted first and foremost. Everything else is an option, but the one option you can't avoid, death, until you go to mass, doesn't hurt at all. It's a bit like doing squats before you ride a pony.
I don't...
Barry, back me up here. You got to do squats before you ride a pony.
I'm sorry, I don't know what you're talking... I wasn't listening to you.
For fuck's sake.
Future President Trump got into a bit of trouble this week for accurately telling a baby that the baby was upsetting his flow. Like if you were listening to, I don't know, the Cranberries, and you started screaming during that, it would also upset the flow. You see, anyone who's dealing with microphones and captivated audiences, a bit like myself, they know the only thing worse than, say, a fire alarm going off is a baby. A baby is a human fire alarm, except... You can't, you don't break a glass to make it go, and you can't pay someone to shut it off. There's no easy switch, so that's why at my mass I ensure that there's a little sort of a, kind of, I suppose you call it sort of a baby bridle. It's a bit of metal that goes into the baby's mouth and is kept on with a strap, and that keeps the baby from... It doesn't keep the baby from crying. If anything, it makes the baby cry harder, but you can't hear it. That's the important thing. And I think Trump, when he does become president, he should start using these baby bridles, because I find they're absolutely great. And that's about it for this week. If you're heading over to Rio, don't drink the water. If you're staying in Ireland, make sure you pay your water charges. It's very, very important, because, you know... As Enda was saying, people keep coming up to him with two pints in the pub and he's sick of it. So enjoy your week, and please rise for the homily. You've been listening to the Sunday Sermon Podcast by Giles Brodie. Special thanks this week to TY Wranglers Emma Keaveney and Justin and Madeline Brodie. Thanks as always to Conor O'Toole and Jermond O'Brien. You can find me on Twitter at Giles Brodie. If you enjoyed the podcast, please tell your friends and subscribe and give us a nice review on iTunes. Have a good week.